by looking at a very important half, chapter 8, verse 30 to 35, where everything came to a sudden stop. Why? Well, today we're going to see that this sudden stop by the Israelites was not a random act by God or his people, but it was a very intentional stop to look and to listen to what God was doing and what he required of his people going forward. In other words, what God was doing was he was putting everything on standby as a way to teach them going forward. Keep the main objective the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Sometimes in our Christian life, we also got to stop, look, and listen to be reminded of our God-given identity and purpose. Sometimes in the hustle and bustle of our busy lives, we get into this routine of just checking things off the list, and it can cause us to lose focus on what's most important in life. And so I pray today's message, and through looking at the Israelites and their experience, that will help us take this opportunity today to stop, look, and listen to what God is doing. And from that understanding and experience, you and I are able to then move forward in greater ways. I have a message titled, Stop, Look, and Listen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that your word speaks and your word goes forth and it does not retract void. Lord, we pray that as your word penetrates into the heart of man, Lord, that people will be transformed and changed for your glory and for your purposes. Lord, help us this morning to be filled with your spirit. Take away any distractions that we have. Allow us to hear from you and what you're calling us to do. Lord, I also want to pray especially for those who are tuning in today, whether because of sickness or traveling. Lord, may you be with them in their homes as well. May your spirit and presence be with them. And Lord, we have not forgotten about them as a community, but Lord, we are praying for them. And Lord, we are desiring to see them once again in person. So Lord, be with them. May you, your spirit bless them. May you fill their room right now with your mighty presence in tangible ways that they can see and know you. Lord, be with us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, from a young age, you and I are taught many things. Most of the stuff that we get taught by our parents, our school teachers, it's fair to say that we've forgotten. But there are some important lessons that we get taught and we actually carry on for the rest of our lives. For example, don't touch the stove when it's hot. Don't touch sharp knives. Always buckle up in the car. Don't mess around. These are the type of things that get ingrained in our little minds because we know if we don't follow these rules, there will be serious consequences. And so one important lesson I've learned as a kid was how to cross the road safely. I think it was because of all the videos that we were fed and all these tunes that we had to sing to was implanted in our young minds. And it was a lesson to first stop, look, and listen before crossing the road. And they would always have this song like, stop, look, listen, if you want to arrive safely. So from a young age, every time we're at a crossing, we would stop, assess our surroundings, look left or right to see whether there was any oncoming cars, and finally to listen, because there could be a car in a distance approaching. And this was a valuable lesson that we got taught as kids. And so far, by the grace of God, I've carried this lesson all throughout my life, and I haven't been hit. The only time that I've been somewhat close to getting hit was my time here in California. Because California is different, all right? They have these laws that don't make sense. I was told by a young adult when I arrived was that in California, pedestrians always have the right of way. That under California law, pedestrians have the right of way at any designated crosswalk or at any intersection, even if the intersection is unmarked. So even if you're on your phone, AirPods in, if a car hits you, they're in trouble, not you. This was different to what we were taught in Australia. This was mind-boggling for me. This kind of turned my education upside down. Why was I first taught to stop, look, and listen back in Australia as a kid? But here in California, there's no such thing. I've been lied to, right? Here it's head down, on your phones, AirPods in, cross the road. It's unbelievable. But this life lesson, as I was taught as a young boy to stop, look, and listen, can be carried into our spiritual lives. Why do I say that? The reality in our life is that we always want to keep moving forward. That's what we've been taught. to be productive, to keep moving forward, to go with the flow. And our natural tendency is to build momentum and to keep on going, keep the wheels turning. And we often carry that into our Christian lives. We're fire for God. We're doing a lot of things. We're passionate. We're seeing things move. Just keep on doing what we're doing. Don't stop the momentum. If it feels right, just keep on doing what we're doing. But I want to ask you today, how often have you been taught in your Christian life to stop, look, and listen to what God may be saying? Today, I want to talk about an important lesson. Because sometimes in order to actually move forward, we need to take a step back to stop, look, and listen. And it's actually often in the waiting, the stopping, the reflecting that gives us the drive to keep on going. Like a car that needs to be stopped for a car service to get gas so that it can continue moving forward. Or an athlete that needs to stop and drink water and stretch before competing. There is an important lesson in the need to stop, look, and listen to God in our spiritual lives. And to help us look at that, we're going to look at a very important passage from Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 to 35. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me there. And we're going to see how the Israelites were taught by God to stop, look, and listen before moving forward. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 to 35. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. He followed the commands that Moses, the Lord's servant, had written in the book of instruction. Make me an altar from stones that are uncut and have not been shaped with iron tools. Then on the altar, they presented burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. And as the Israelites watched, Joshua copied onto the stones of the altar the instructions Moses had given them. Then all the Israelites, foreigners and native-born alike, along with the elders, officers, and judges, were divided into two groups. One group stood in front of Mount Gerizim, the other in front of Mount Ebal. Each group faced the other, and between them stood the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. This was all done according to the commands that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously given for blessing the people of Israel. Joshua then read to them all the blessing and curses Moses has written in the book of instruction. Every word of every command that Moses had ever given was read to the entire assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. Now in today's story, I've broken it up into three points. First, the Israelites stopped. They stopped moving forward because Joshua was to build an altar of uncut stones and place offerings on it. Second, they looked as Joshua wrote a copy of Moses' instruction on the altar stones and as the priests offered up the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. Then third, Joshua read the entire instruction to Israel, the blessing and the curses, and the Israelites listened to the word of God. So first we're going to look at the Israelites stopping. First, they stopped. Now, why the unexpected stop? If you read in previous chapters, they were moving forward, they were winning battles, they have lost one, but now it's time to move forward. There was an unexpected stop. Who hates being stopped when they're halfway through something or when they have some momentum? It's like when we're part of a sports team and we've got the momentum and the coach from the opposing team calls a timeout. Or when I was a young kid and we're playing a game and I'm about to beat the final boss, and your mom calls you to stop and to go down for dinner, right? We hate being stopped. Here, the Israelites stopped. Why? Well, they paused for a ceremony to renew their relationship with God. In other words, they stopped to assess and to reflect on their relationship with God before moving forward. This was done by God for his people to reaffirm their commitment to him. It was a returning back to the fundamentals of their relationship with God. It was to educate them once again for God to be their God and for them to be his people. You see, after all that has happened with the sin of Achan and the defeat at Ai, the nation needed to reaffirm their commitment and their relationship with God. It was now more fitting than ever that the nation reaffirm their relationship with God. And they were placed between these two mountains. As I was looking at the promised land, there were these two mountains, one on the left, one on the right, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Both mountains served as a symbol of God's blessing and curses. And it was at that place where they set up an altar of uncut stones. Now, this is an important lesson for us right off the bat. And as I thought about this week, it teaches us that at every phase of life, at every phase in our journey of life, we also, like the Israelites, need to stop and renew our own covenant before God. Which is my first point. Stop and renew our own covenant before God, just like the Israelites. You see, the idea of covenant renewal may seem very strange to us in our modern day. Right, in our modern day thinking, we're thinking a commitment is a commitment, right? If I tell you I will do something, I will do it. Renewal seems a bit strange in our context, and it's only used for like magazine subscriptions or gym memberships where we need to renew our contracts. And so we might be thinking, why do I have to renew my commitment with God? If I say I follow God, if I love God, I will follow him all the way till I die. It's not like, you know, at the end of the day on December 31st, I'm not going to be a Christian anymore, right? Why on earth do Christians need to renew their covenant and their commitment before God? If we look carefully, the act of renewal is actually very important in Israel's religious life. There were moments of covenant renewal in the book of Joshua. For example, a month ago, you remember how we looked at how there was a circumcision ceremony to remind the people that they've been set apart? And later on in Joshua 24, when we wrap up the series, we're going to see again there was another ceremony to renew their relationship with God. It was a way to remind them who they were in the presence of God, because people forget. And so thinking about this, I thought, what's it got to do with us in our context? I actually thought, in our day and age, it's actually very, very relevant for us. Because the reason is that life is full of changes. And those changes can alter the context of one's commitment to Christ. For example, we might come to faith as a child. But as we grow old, as we grow more independent and have challenges of adulthood and education and jobs and family, it all requires new choices in life. So each phase of life will test the adequacy and relevance of our childhood faith. And each test, in essence, demands a new choice. So in each stage of life, we're going to be faced with different choices. And so we have to ask ourselves, in this stage of life, am I still going to see Jesus as Lord here and now? Yes, I may have followed him as a kid, but do I follow him as a college student? Yes, I may have followed Jesus in my college days, but now, when I'm working in the workplace, do I still see Jesus as Lord? Yes, I may have followed him as a young adult, but as I've been becoming a parent and or retiring, do I still follow Jesus? Do I still see him Lord over all? You see, the people of God were given a covenant, but the people of God still had to agree or disagree whether they will keep the covenant, whether or not they will still see God as king over their lives. Likewise, as Christians today, in every phase and journey of life, yes, God gives the privilege of having a relationship with him, but we also have to decide whether we want to keep the terms of the covenant by obeying him and seeing him as Lord over every stage of our lives. Each stage of life requires a renewed commitment. For those of you who are finishing up senior year, your faith will be tested in college, and it's a new phase of your life. So you must renew your relationship with God. Even though you're off from your home church, you need to ask yourself, in this phase of my life, in my college years, am I still going to follow Jesus? For those of you who have graduated, your faith now when you're working compared to your college years will be different. So you have to ask yourself, at this new phase of my life, when I'm working in the workplace, will I still see Jesus as Lord? Too many times in pastoral ministry, I've seen people who have moved to a new phase of life, new beginnings, and leave their faith behind. Oh, that was my college days when I had more time. That was my youth days when I had no choice. Or that was my adult days where, you know, I was still passionate and on fire for God. And now I'm retiring, so it doesn't really matter to me. God wants to be Lord over every phase of our lives. And he doesn't only want to be Lord over us when we were children attending Awana or Sunday school. He wants to be Lord over you as you enter into college, as you enter into the workplace, as you enter, as you become a parent, as you enter retirement. And from our end, what we need to do in our journey is we need to stop to reevaluate whether Jesus is still Lord over our lives. If not, then we need to make that intentional, active renewal and relationship and recommitment back to Him. Second, the Israelites looked. They looked. Joshua built an altar to the Lord on Mount Ebal and established an atmosphere of worship. This was taken directly from Deuteronomy chapter 27. An altar of stones and uncut stones had to be used. It had to be pure and not mixed with man's labor. Now, why on earth did God command these people to place uncut stones upon the altar? Honestly, I don't know the exact reason. But I think knowing us humans, we're pretty prone to fall. We're pretty prone to sin. If I was an Israelite and I was told to lift up an uncut stone and place it in front of the altar and to kind of fancy it up a little bit, I think I would have the tendency to just chip away and the next minute it becomes an idol, right? This is what happened with the Israelites. Anything that they touched became an idol. So that's why it's pure. It had to be untouched. God says, bring an uncut stone to the altar. All right? God told them to do this. So the next step for the Israelites was to look. Look at what's being done. There wasn't only uncut stones, but Joshua started to copy the law of Moses, word for word. So the Israelites looked. And as they looked and saw the law being written on these tablets, again, it reminded them of their duty to live in obedience to the divine word. In addition, they also had to look because there were the peace offerings and there were the burnt offerings being made at the altar. And these two sacrifices reminded the people of God that God is the one who provides for sin. God is the one that restores a relationship to Himself. And these served as reminders to God's people that, hey, going forward, I'm going to be the one who provides. I'm going to be the one who deals with your sin. So you can imagine the people of God paused. They stopped and they looked intently at all that was happening. Which brings me to my second point. In our lives, we need to look and see what the Lord is doing. Look and see what the Lord is doing. You know, when we hear best when we're looking at the person that we're speaking to. When you really love someone, your eyes are not going to be wandering. Your eyes are going to be focused in on them. Every word that's being spoken, and you're going to look intently at them because there's a deeper exchange going on. You know, when I was dating Ruth, I would look intently at her when she spoke to me. These days, it's different because if she tells me off, then, you know, my eyes wander around. I'm scared. I need to look elsewhere. But we all know looking intently at someone is very important. That's why whenever we get in trouble, right? Look at me when I'm speaking to you, right? That's what you hear from our parents or our teachers. Look at me when I'm talking to you. And I think this needs to be carried over in our Christian lives. God's like, keep your eyes focused in on me. See what I am doing. Don't take your eyes away from me. Focus in on me. You know, I remember when I was at a crossroad in my own life, it was right after I graduated from seminary. I was at this point where I had to make a few decisions and I had a lot of external pressures and internal pressures. And it was actually quite a hard time for me. And I remember God was just speaking to me and says, Ben, stop and look. I'm like thinking, stop and look. Look at what? And as I stopped and I looked around, I started to see His faithfulness in my parents, among my friends. I started to see His faithfulness at church. Everything started to line up because I stopped and looked. Just like the Israelites, as they looked at Joshua copying the law of Moses, as they looked upon the sacrifices that were being offered, they probably came to the conclusion that, hey, we need not fear, but going forward, God will provide everything for us. It's like that song, turn our eyes upon Jesus and everything will grow strangely dim. God provides. So as the people looked at Joshua copying the law of Moses, finally, they listened. Third, they listened. Joshua read all the words of the law the blessings and the curses of what it meant to be in relationship with God. And it was very thorough. There was not a word that was missed out. When God speaks, people must listen. This was done in the corporate context, the assembly of believers. It's very important. That's why we come to church. We listen to the message spoken. We listen to the word being read. We listen to the songs and we participate in the presence of the assembly. And so when the people heard of the blessings and the curses, they were reminded again to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. If you follow God, it's very simple. There will be blessing. If you disobey God, there will be the curse. Blessing means life. The curse means death. Which is my third and final point. We ought to listen to what God is saying. Listen to what God is saying. Listening takes effort. Listening takes intentionality. Listening takes concentration. Listening means that we need to block out the surrounding noises. You know, I remember when I was a young boy, someone gave my parents a radio. And at that time, I really liked to listen to this radio station. It had a lot of pop music. Back then, it was like Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls. So I would always like try to listen to this. It used to be called 101.1 FM, all right? And it was really old, so I had to tune it, and you'll hear like zzzz, and it goes into the music. And finally, when you reach it, right, and it goes off balance a bit, and you've got to slowly tune in. And as I thought about this, it's like that in our Christian lives when we want to listen to God, isn't it? We've got all this noise competing. We've got all these things that are wanting our affections and wanting our time and energy, and that we can't listen in to God. And recently I've been on a journey and thinking about the usage of our phones. How can we listen to God when we're spending all the time on our phone? Right? How can we listen in to God when our phone is an idol and our phones are taking away our affections? When we block out the noise, we're able to hear God speak. Now, some of you may ask, well, how does God speak to us today? Well, God speaks through His Word. It's divine, it's authoritative, it's inerrant, and it's the only source of truth. And when we read it, we're hearing directly from God Himself. He also speaks to us through prayer. As we commune and have this sweet intimacy and relationship with Him, we also hear Him speak as He pulls away at the affections of our heart, as he speaks to us and He tugs away at our heart and say, hey, Ben, maybe you should do this. Maybe you should go this way. The Lord also speaks through our circumstances, whether it's good or bad. And that's why when things happen to us, we need to ask the Lord, what do you want to say to me through this circumstance? What are you teaching me now? Sometimes God speaks to us through other people. And it may come in the form of affirmation, confirmation, encouragement, or even reproof. And the Lord may choose to deliver His message to us through other people, even people we may not like. So no matter the source, we should thoughtfully and prayerfully consider whatever is being said. You see, when we listen in carefully, we then know how to move forward. So as I wrap it up, at this covenant ceremony renewal, we see the people had the opportunity to stop, to look, and to listen to what God was doing and what God required before moving any further. And in our day and age, in the hustle and the bustle and the busyness of life, we would learn a thing or two if we were also told to stop, to look, and to listen to what God is doing among us. And as we do this, as we put it into practice in our everyday lives, to just stop, to look, and to listen, it gives us a greater confidence to move forward in anything that we do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this time where we can come and listen to Your Word. Lord, You have told us to stop and wait for You, to be still and to know that You are God. And as we be still and know that You are God, we see Your greatness. we see how beautiful and how wonderful you are. And as we look to see your faithfulness, as we look to see your word being preached, as we look around us in creation and through circumstances, we see you are faithful to your own promise. And as we listen in and tune in and block out the noise of our culture, we listen to what you have to say to us. Help us to tune in. Help us to fight the distractions in our lives. Help us not be addicted to our phones or to the surrounding noises, but to help us to zero in on your voice. You speak to us through your word. You speak to us as we pray and as we commune with you. You speak to us through our circumstances. You speak to us through people. You continue to speak to your people even today. And so, Lord, help us to listen in. Because, Lord, when you speak, we want to listen. And we want to make sure before we do anything going forward, we want to have your blessing. And we want to live in complete obedience to your will. Lord, we thank you for this time. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship to the greatness of our God.